So you think negotiating health care reform is a difficult thing? I would say that for some families who have maybe 20 people gathering for Christmas dinner, that's kind of it's difficult negotiation sometimes. Also,
and getting 60% support from anyone in your family is probably just as
exactly. Hard. I think you're not likely to get any kind of 60 votes there. How do you respectfully take on religious differences when you gather for the holidays, especially when your kid is perhaps more religious than you are? We're joined now by Lori Dinnerstein-Kurz, who can talk about this from her own personal point of view, and of course Lisa Belkin, our takeaway contributor. She writes the family and parenting blog Motherload for our partner, the New York Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lori, you're the grandmother of 10 children. So explain how this religious divide plays out in your family.
Well, there are seven who come from a family that's very observant, and there are three grandchildren who are from a family that are not particularly observant. And it's keeping the balance that's so important.
So Lisa Belkin, you know, I would imagine that Lori's actually kind of simplified. She only has two major differences in her family. Sometimes if families together, they can encompass three, four, maybe even five different religious views all sitting at one dinner table.
Yeah, and then you add what everyone can and can't eat and are not allergic to, and you really are trying to adapt. Yeah, we have changed in terms of how religious we are in the country. There are interesting trends. Protestants, people who identify as Protestants, is down by half since 1950. It's now about 25%, was about 50% back in 1950. But at the same time, the number of us who identify as evangelical Christians has jumped from about 10% to the same 25%. So people are getting more religious and less religious at the same time. Conservative Jews, which is what's going on in Lori's family, is down about 15% overall in the country. And yet at the same time, the number of Orthodox Jews is up by about 10%. So we're shifting in odd ways, and that always plays out. You know, major trends always play out at dining room tables.
So, Lori, you raised your kids in kind of the conservative, that's the more middle-of-the-road area.
Yeah, conservadox, yeah.
And then your daughter went towards Orthodox Judaism.
She embraced being very observant, and my son went the other direction.
He went towards more liberal
reform,
views.
Reform, yeah, more
so
reform.
You have three versions of the same, luckily, this at least the same
faith.
Well,
then we have four, because then there's me, and I'm in the middle.
Okay, so how specifically does this work? I mean, what problems arise at your dinner table?
Well, it's not so much at the dinner table, because at the dinner table means it's at my house, which means I'm in control, and I know exactly what to serve and how to serve it to whom. So I sort of have erased that problem by having it all gatherings at my house.
So you make all food conform to Orthodox, and then everyone else can just eat that, or do you cook a bunch of different versions of everything?
Well, interestingly enough, I keep my house to the kosher level of my daughter and her family, and so anyone who comes to my house can eat, no matter who they are.
And how do the grandchildren react?
They're fine, because they understand they all come to grandma's house, they're not saying no to me, so they come here, and whatever I provide, they partake.
So, Lori, your solution to this problem then is really one of, for lack of a better term, vertical control. You cook the way you cook. It comes from mom or from grandma, and that's the way it is.
Yeah. So I just think that I, as the grandparent and the parent to my grown children, it's my obligation to be the adult, be the one who must be flexible and open. It would be nice if the siblings could be flexible and open, and hopefully they are, but nonetheless, I have to be if I want to keep the family intact. And so I figured out a way that holidays, whatnot, if I'm at my home, I have control and everybody's happy.
Okay, but Lisa, again, Lori, you know, as much as that can be a difficulty, she can solve that by just going towards the more Orthodox of the faith. They're still talking about different versions of one faith. And in many families, we're talking about somewhere you're going to have a Catholic next to an atheist, next to a Muslim, next to a Buddhist. Lisa?
Yes, and that's Lori actually founded the organization for that, which is PORC, interestingly, Lori, Parents of Religious Kids. And it's parents want their kids to grow up the way they are. And anything that our kids do other than that, even if we, you know, will say, oh, anything you want, sweetheart, follow your bliss, we want you to find yourself, we're uncomfortable when our children are something we're not, because somehow that feels like judgment, if you will. And when that plays out, if you don't ever get to the root of it, actually the time not to do it is the holidays. It should be done at any time other than the holidays to address this directly. But it has to be addressed. It has to be addressed at its core, which is you have made a different choice than I did, and that feels uncomfortable to me.
So it sounds to me, Lisa, like your takeaway here is number one rule, if you had to give only one, deal with this before everyone sits down for dinner.
Yes, and it's the takeaway we have at all our family conversations here on Mondays, isn't it? Is talk to each other.
And Lori, is that pretty much your number one rule?
Well, talking to each other in our situation wouldn't help a lot because neither one of those two can bend or be flexible.
Yeah, Lori's rule is dictatorship, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way because the very observant can't be flexible and the less observant won't be because the others aren't.
Okay.
So it becomes in my hands. So hopefully if I cover all my bases at the end of the day, they can all leave with smiles, and I smile too because it's my role to smooth it all out. I know what each expects, and if I make sure that happens,
okay,
then it's okay.
To Lori Dinniston Kurz, grandmother of 10 children, joined us from her home in New Jersey, and Lisa Belkin writes a family and parenting blog, Motherload, for our partner, The New York Times.
So how do you deal with religious debates when your family gets together? Do you try to just paper over it and avoid the topic altogether? Tell us your story, and if your relatives listen to the show, you can always leave it anonymously. That's okay with us. Reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Don't forget to tune in this Christmas Day. We're going to bring you a very special edition of the show from Christmas 1941. We're dipping into the sound archives to hear how Americans were feeling just weeks after Pearl Harbor when we were suddenly a nation at war. We're also going to hear the sports, the movies, and the music from that year. It's an extremely cool special edition. Tune in for it on Friday. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.